الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We continue with the tafsir or the شرح of the book العقيدة الواسطية للشيخ الإسلام بن تيمية رحمه الله، the شرح محمد بن صالح العثيمين رحمة الله عليه. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us by allowing us to reach the page 102 in the Arabic book that I have. And we are particularly dealing here with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in general, and Allah being all aware, or Allah's full acquaintance particularly. And we were dealing with the attribute of Allah azza wa jal, and one of the names of Allah, Al-Khabir. Right or wrong?
Yeah.
Right. And in the context of that, we were speaking about Surah Al-An'am, verse 59, that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the keys of the unseen that none knows but He. And He knows whatever is upon the earth and whatever is in the ocean. And not even a leaf falls except that He knows about it. Not even a grain and the darknesses of the land or the earth. Nothing that is fresh or dry except that it is in a clear record, written and confirmed since the beginning or even before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Everything was decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while dealing with the word ghaib, we mentioned that none knows the unseen but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ultimate sense, except what Allah has given the creation knowledge of. So we know some of the things that will happen. We know like some things about Jannah and some things about Jahannam and some things about the jinn and the angels. These are all from the unseen, but we've been given knowledge of them. Day of Judgment, the grave, and things of this sort. But regarding the hour, we quoted that none knows it but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Jibreel asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the hour, قال مَلْ سَائِلُ مَلْ مَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. The one that is being questioned does not know more than the questioner. Meaning me and you are like. And then we quoted from, we even confirmed that for those who give da'wah to the non-Muslims, Christians particularly, said Matthew chapter 24 verse 36. So remember now that Jesus said that none knows about the hour. Huh? No one knows about that day or that hour. Not even the angels in the heavens, not even the Son, only the Father. And of course, yani, that is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no one knows about the hour. Confirmed by all religions, except those who innovated otherwise. So the Shaykh said at the bottom line is, so whomever claims that he knows the knowledge of the hour is a kafir, wa alaykum salam rahmatullah, he's a liar and he is a kafir. And whomever believes him, he is similar to him, because this is impossible. Then we went to the we wanted to go to the ayat in Surah Luqman, verse 34. It says, the Shaykh said, وَهَذِهِ الْمَفَاتِحِ فَسَّرَهَا أَعْلَمُ الْخَلْقِ بِكَلَامِ اللَّهِ مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم حين قرأ. The keys of the unseen, they were explained by the one who has the most knowledge. The one who has the most knowledge, the most knowledgeable among the creation of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he recited the following verse from Surah Luqman, verse 34, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. Verily, indeed, Allah has the knowledge of the hour. With Allah is the knowledge of the hour. And He sends down the rain. And He knows what is in the wombs of the women, the female, regardless, woman or animals. And no soul perceives what it will earn the next day, tomorrow, which is the future. And no soul perceives or knows where, in which land it will die. Verily, Allah is the All-Knower, the All-Aware. These are five things then that we should memorize. Okay, these are the keys of the unseen that are with Allah that no one knows but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ultimate sense. The first one is علم الساعة, the knowledge of the hour. وينزل الغيث, descending down of the rain. And وما في الأرحام, ويعلم ما في الأرحام, and Allah knows what's in the wombs. And know, and what the soul will earn tomorrow, the future, and where a soul will, which land it will die on, in which land the soul will die. These are the five things that are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh will elaborate on them. He says regarding the first, الأول علم الساعة, فعلم الساعة مبدأ مفتاح لحياة الآخرة. The knowledge of the hour is the key, is the key for the life to come, the hereafter. The key for that begins with the knowledge of the hour. وسميت الساعة بهذا. Now one may ask, why is it called the hour? Does anyone know? Would anyone like to suggest? Why is it called the hour? Is it really an hour?
No, it is the end. It's a day, isn't it? The end of time.
Yeah, but why is it called an hour? Because you know, it's eternal. From that day on, from that moment on, it's eternity. Because I mean, there's only the gradual beginning of it, while you go through the process of the Day of Judgment, until you are either in Jannah permanently or in Jahannam permanently, or in Jahannam temporarily if you're a believer, where you'll be taken out to Jannah permanently at one point. But at the end of the day, at one point, Jannah will be permanent, Jahannam will be permanent, and all this begins during the hour. So why is it called an hour, although you're talking about a long time, even longer than the existence of our current lives?
So it will equal to 1 hour time?
No, 50,000 years, man, just the before the judgment begins.
No, that is the day, the end of the day. So the changes, that means the
signifies when how it will be, life ends and the other life starts, you know, other process.
The changes that could happen in 1 hour?
Possible explanation. The Shaykh said, وَسُمِّيَتِ السَّاعَ بِهَذَا لِأَنَّهَا سَاعَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ. It was called that because it's a tremendous hour. The hour in which this whole thing begins is so tremendous, because it's like that turning point. It's that phase between everything that has passed and everything that will come. So that the link between them is that hour, the hour of the event. So this is why the emphasis on the hour, although we know it's longer than that. يُهَدَّدُ بِهَا جَمِيعُ النَّاسِ. All of the creation are threatened by this hour. وَهِيَ الْحَاقَّةِ وَالْوَاقِعَةِ. الْحَاقَّةِ is like the truth, the truth that will, the reality from حق, the reality, يعني the الْحَاقَّةِ. مَا الْحَاقَّةِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ أَيْسُ. You know the surah. And الْوَاقِعَةِ, the وَاقِعَةِ, يَقَعَ الشَّيْءِ, the thing that will happen. Also the here means the reality, okay, or the event. الواقعه, the event which will take place. يعني there's no escape. All these are indications about the seriousness of this moment and the fact that it is inevitable. It is coming. There's no escape.
وَالسَّاعَةُ عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَا يَدْرِي أَحَدٌ مَتَى تَقُومُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ.
And the knowledge of the hour is with Allah. None knows when it will occur except Allah the Exalted. That's the first one. We understand that. الثاني عفواً. وينزل الغيث. الغيث and تنزيل الغيث, which is from the part of the verse وينزل الغيث, and Allah sends down the rain. الغيث مصدر, which is a derivative, ومعناه إزالة الشدة. It's really the Arabic word linguistically means removing difficulty. يغيث, يستغيث. Is تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ, while you beg your Lord, you seek help from your Lord. So the principle, linguistically, the word إِغَاثَ أو يَسْتَغِيث, which is known as seeking help in the manner of begging after a person being in a state of difficulty and hardship, distressed, when the distress call on. Now some people, the mushrikeen, who are in the clothes of Muslims, like the grave worshippers and their like, they go to these dead people and they say, Al-Ghawth, Al-Ghawth.
يعني the ultimate aid, assistance, because we are in need. And this is only referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to the creation, even if they were alive, let alone a person who is dead, who may be punished in his grave. I mean, they may go to someone who's being punished in his grave because he was a wicked man, and they're telling him, intercede with us, with Allah for us. And you don't know about his condition. I mean, you cannot give anyone tazkiyah, shahada, that this person is beloved by Allah, unless the Prophet ﷺ gave that tazkiyah to some of the companions. Because we know from the seerah that a man died in one of the battles during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and the companions were starting to be calling him shaheed such and such, and they gave him already that declaration, that tazkiyah. The Prophet ﷺ said no, he had taken some robe, something insignificant from the ghanima, from the war booty, without anyone knowing. And the Prophet ﷺ said that this thing here was a barrier between him and the shahada. So he was according to the people, he was a shaheed. But the Prophet ﷺ had been given knowledge by Allah that his condition is not as such. So this is why a problem now they call everyone who dies a shaheed. And in reality, this is not permissible. So much so that I've seen on one of the newspapers, not even newspaper, internet newspaper, or YouTube particularly, that one of these American women died in Palestine trying to stop a bulldozer from destroying a house. Okay, so she stood in the way, of course, as if they're going to care about her. They just ran her over. And they hung pictures of her, calling her the martyr, whatever her name, Jennifer Batik. I'm like, come on man, even a kafir and now became a martyr? Ishada! Yani, if we understand the Muslim, we say tayyib. But a kafir became a martyr? I mean, we must be very specific with this term. You don't just give it to anyone unless you have a proof from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this case here, when someone is depending on a dead person, and you do not have any confirmed knowledge that this person is on good status with Allah, then how are you? I mean, even if he was, it's not allowed to go there. Let alone that you have no certainty. So this just shows you how misguided this particular act is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our Muslim ummah back to the deen and to the tawheed of worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know they may not know. They may be in an environment where they have not been exposed to the real knowledge. So it's my job and your job to do that, to enlighten the people about the Quran and the Sunnah and the reality of shirk and what is shirk, so they will not fall into that. Maybe most of them, if they were introduced, someone was to bring them to the truth, they'll be more than happy to accept it. They just don't know any better. Al-Muhim. So then, this is the meaning of Al-Ghayth linguistically. What is intended here though is what? Rain. Why? لأنه بالمطر تزول شدة القحط والجدب. Because through rain, drought and dryness are removed through rain. وإذا كان هو الذي ينزل غيث كان هو الذي يعلم وقت نزوله. If it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it is He who sends down the rain, that automatically means that He is the only one who knows when it will come down. So this is why, because if you read the context of the verse, it speaks about Allah knowing everything. But part of it is, and He sends down the rain. So one may think this is irrelevant. Sending down the rain is irrelevant to the knowledge, because the verse is speaking about the knowledge of Allah. But the Shaykh is telling you how to go about it. If Allah is the one who sends down the rain, then it's Allah who knows when the rain will come down. Now you can bring the forecast, as they bring him on the news and they tell you, well, Tuesday is going to be sunny and there's going to be cloudy and it's going to rain. And this is all hypothetically guessing, assuming, predicting. Allah may change the whole atmosphere and none of this stuff happens. So no one can come and say, wallahi, it will rain. And you don't know that, because they may not rain. And if it rained, it's okay. And even the scholars say, this kind of forecast is permissible if you are studying the environment. Because Allah gave us indications in this universe, but you never make any conclusive statement that no, it will rain. You have to associate that or give it a qualifying condition, which is by the will of Allah. It seems like it might rain based on what we know from the nature, but you cannot make anything conclusive in a sense.
They do something called seeding. There is a process by which cloud seeding they do so that rain comes down.
According to scientific
Yeah, but still, it is by the permission of Allah that this thing functions.
Sometimes works, sometimes doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows it to work, it's still with the control of Allah.
Even in Saudi Arabia, they did, I think.
I don't know. These things that the science comes up with,
they are new
issues. Okay, they are usually theories until they're proven to be facts. Let us assume that they became scientific facts. Anything new still is under the control of Allah. Like boats. Because many verses in the Quran deal with how the ship will be in the ocean and the wind will blow and will take them somewhere, and then, you know, now they tell you, "Ya akhi, we don't need this anymore. We have an engine." Huh? We turn on the motor and we go whichever way we like. We say even that motor is functioning by the will of Allah. If Allah will, they will no longer function. So yani, nothing can at any point escape the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over this universe. Similarly, if they want to do something that is artificial rain by using new means, this is all conditional by Allah allows them to make up these discoveries first through the brain that Allah gave them. Allah is the one who allows them to reach a point where they can even produce something, and if it is ever produced, it's still by the will of Allah. So it becomes the same, just like the regular rain. Al-Muhim. وَالْمَطَرْ نُزُولُهُ مِفْتَاحُ لِحَيَاةِ الْأَرْضِ بِالنَّبَاتِ. Now we're seeing why they are called مفاتيح الغيب, the keys of the unseen. We said that the hour is the key for the life to come. The Shaykh said, as for the rain, it is the key for the livelihood of the vegetation. For the life of the vegetation of the earth. Yani the earth produces vegetation through the rain. So the rain becomes the key. وَبِحَيَاةِ النَّبَاتِ يَكُونُ الْخَيْرِ فِي الْمَرْعَى وَجَمِيعَ مَا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِمَصَالِحِ الْعِبَادِ. And the life, through the life of the vegetation, then we will attain goodness through the farms and the farming and all things that are beneficial for the servants and the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the creation, such as, you know, most of the things that we eat and drink and we consume, at the end of the day come through the process of rain mixing with the earth and producing the things that we eat. I mean, you know, nothing is out of that unless you're eating meat. And then, even if you're eating meat, then the cow must have fed on some of the things that Allah made from the earth for you to even eat the meat. So it's a cycle, but it's going to the same foundation. وَهُنَا نُقْتَى. The Shaykh said, there's a point here. قَالَ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَلَمْ يَقُلْ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْمَطَرِ. Allah says, and He sends down ghayth, and we said that the root word means difficulty. And Allah did not say, and He sends down rain. Because linguistically, matar in Arabic means rain. Ghaith is an indication for rain, but not necessarily rain in the linguistic sense. Why? لِأَنَّ الْمَطَرَ أَحْيَانًا يَنزِلْ وَلَا يَكُونُ فِيهِ نَبَاتٍ. Because sometimes water, rain comes down, but there's no vegetation. فَلَا يَكُونُ غَيْثًا. So it is not considered ghaith. Because the whole objective of ghaith is ease after hardship. Huh? Removing hardship. So water may come down and the vegetation doesn't grow, that's not really considered ghaith. It just becomes matar. وَلَا تَحْيَ بِهِ الْأَرْضِ. And the earth is not revived therein. وَلِهَذَا ثَبَتَ فِي صَحِيحِ مُسْلِمِ. This is why it was established, confirmed in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ said, or he didn't even mention that. It was established in Sahih Muslim, لَيْسَتِ السَّنَةُ أَلَّا تُمْطَرُوا إِنَّمَا السَّنَةُ أَن تُمْطَرُوا وَلَا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضُ شَيْئًا. He said, drought is not that you do not receive rain. That's not drought. Rather, drought is that that you receive rain, but nothing comes out of the earth. Drought is that you receive rain, but the vegetation doesn't grow. So what benefit did that rain bring? Nothing. Nothing. Maybe you washed some cars, but that's not what we're looking forward to. I mean, really, when the situation gets like the Yusuf alayhi salatu salam in the Surah Yusuf, during the years where he interpreted the dream of the Malik of during this time, he said that there will be 7 years of drought, that there will be no vegetation. So the first 7 years you hold on to things so you could use them for 7 years. And of course, through the wisdom of Allah, he was able to manage. So the people went all the way from Palestine to Egypt. This is how his brothers wound up coming to him. Because the only place where they were able to give people food was with Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. You must read the tafsir of this story, it's something ajeeb. As Allah says, Ahsan al-Qasas, the best of stories. Particularly the tafsir of Sheikh Sa'di rahimahullah, which is not available in English, but being translated to English for your convenience every Friday at the Dawah Center at 9:30 a.m. Not the surah, the book. But we will come through the surah inshallah. Very interesting. Jeddah Da'wah Center. No, this is Mushrifa. Hayy Salama. We'll talk about it later inshallah. Anywho, the idea is then that drought is not that you do not receive rain, but you receive rain but no vegetation grow. This is what drought is. الثالث علم علم ما في الأرحام. Allah's knowledge of what is in the wombs of the females. ويعلم ما في الأرحام. This is the statement of Allah. أي أرحام الإناث, meaning the wombs of the female. فهو عز وجل يعلم ما في الأرحام, أي ما في بطون الأمهات من بني آدم وغيرهم. Allah سبحانه وتعالى knows what is in the wombs, and that means what is in the bellies of the belly of the womb of the mothers, whether from the children of Adam or otherwise. ومتعلق العلم عام بكل شيء. And that knowledge is in everything of regarding that. فلا يعلم ما في الأرحام إلا من خلق عز وجل. No one knows what is in the wombs except the Creator, the Exalted. But hold on. فإن قلت يقال الآن إنهم صاروا يعلمون الذكر من الأنثى في الرحم. فهل هذا صحيح؟ But if you say, but nowadays they're able to tell whether you have a male or a female. Hey, no. What is the name? There's a technical name for that. Ultrasound. Aywa. He said, "Is this true?" And I, is it true?
Yes.
It's true. They used to see it, but they are using some technology for that.
It doesn't matter. They know what's in the homes.
True.
So, but hold on. Let the sheikh explain it. Let the sheikh explain it. نقول إن هذا الأمر وقع ولا يمكن إنكاره. Say, we don't deny the truth. He said, this event, this has taken place. You cannot deny it. لكنهم لا يعلمون ذلك إلا بعد تكوين الجنين وظهور ذكورته أو أنوثته. But they only know that after the embryo has developed to a certain extent where it has a male or female organ. Before that, nobody knows that. And this is one aspect to reply to that misconception. وللجنين أحوال أخرى لا يعلمونها. And the embryo, the infant, has other stages, other things that they do not know about. فَلَا يَعْلَمُونَ مَتَى أَنْزَلْ. They don't know when the baby will come down. Everything is guessing. So they tell her, you know, between 9 months, they assume. But nobody really knows when. They cannot tell you will deliver at, you know, the 23rd of February at 3 p.m. The contractions and all these things that happen, no one knows about. طيب. وَلَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِذَا نَزَلْ إِلَى مَتَى يَبْقَ حَيًّا. And even if it comes down, they don't know for how long it will remain alive. The baby. Now, ولا يعلمون هل يكون شقيا أو سعيدا. They do not know whether it will be wretched or it will be happy. يعني, you know, the believer or disbeliever, or a good believer or a bad believer. ولا يعلمون هل يكون غنيا أم فقيرا. And they do not know whether it will be rich, that baby, or it will be poor. إلا إلى غير ذلك من أحواله المجهولة. And other things of the affairs that are not known regarding this infant. So just knowing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and He knows what is in the wombs. That statement encompasses all kinds of knowledge. He knows everything regarding this infant, not just whether it's a male or female. They only know that after Allah allowed them to reach a point where they know, but they don't know originally what it is. You know, and even if they did, it is by the will of Allah that He gave them the knowledge to know. But the ultimate knowledge, Jahannam or Jannah, no one knows. How long will they live? No one knows. When the baby will come around? No one knows. إذن أكثر متعلقات العلم فيما يتعلق بالأجنة مجهول للخلق. The Sheikh said, then most of the knowledge pertaining to the infants or the embryos is unknown to the creation. فصدق العموم في قوله ويعلم في الأرحام. So then the general statement of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, He knows what is in the wombs, has been established, because they only know one aspect, but the general knowledge is only with Allah. So that statement is been established and is accurate. So this is three things or four?
Three.
Fourth. علم ما في الغد. Knowing what will happen tomorrow. وهو ما بعد يومك, and tomorrow is the day after today, the day after your day. لقوله وما تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا, and no soul knows what it will earn tomorrow or perceives what it will earn tomorrow. وهذا مفتاح الكسب في المستقبل. Now this is the key. Notice how he's always linking it with the keys. This is the key for the sustenance in the future, for what you will be provided with by Allah in the future. وإذا كان الإنسان لا يعلم ما يكسب لنفسه فعدم علمه بما يكسبه غيره أولى. If the person does not know what he will earn, himself, then his knowledge of what someone else will earn is even more impossible. If you don't know what you will earn, how are you going to know what someone else will be knowing? So this tells you the craziness of the horoscopes, who will tell you that if you're a Capricorn, then somebody's going to give you a gift, and you know your uncle is going to die, and you know a cat is going to get run over in your street, or some crazy stuff like that, that the people really sit there and they freak out. So in reality, if they don't even know what they will be earning tomorrow, let alone telling some stranger what will happen to them. لكن لو قال قائل أنا أعلم ما في الغد سأذهب إلى المكان الفلاني أو أقرأ أو أزور أقاربي, فنقول قد يزم بأنه سيعمل ولكن يحول بينه وبين العمل مانع. He said, if one was to say, I know what I will do tomorrow, I know what will happen tomorrow, I will be going to such and such place, or I'm going to read this, or I'm going to visit my relatives. The Sheikh said, we say, you may have certainty that you'll be doing something, but then there might be some prevention that will come in between you and that thing. And you know this from personal experience. Say, tomorrow I'm going to do ABC and you don't do jack. You know, someone just gets in an accident and you spend the whole day in the hospital. You don't go there, you know, nothing. So you may have certainty that tomorrow I'm traveling and you're not going to go anywhere, right? Because you don't have control of that. So this is something that is self-experienced, alhamdulillah. Lastly, علم مكان الموت, knowledge of where a person will die, the location of one's death. لقوله, because of the statement of Allah, وما تدري نفس عفوا, they made a mistake here in my book. It's supposed to be وما تدري نفس بأي أرض تموت, and no soul perceives in what land it shall die or it will die. نعم, ما يدري أي أحد هل يموت في أرضه أو في أرض أخرى. No one knows whether he will die in his land or in another land. في أرض إسلامية أو في أرض كافر أهلها. Would he die in a Muslim land or in a land where the people in charge are kuffar and disbelievers. وهل يدري, and this is why يعني it is highly recommended that brothers do not go overseas. Some of those who want to improve their language, you know, you come across someone who says, I want to learn English, I'm just going to go to the States and spend, you know, 6 months and just come back here, become Mr. English. Say, Akhi, listen man, it's not going to work this way. You may go and die over there. And you know, you don't want to die over there. You know, you do not want to die in a strange land by yourself, because it will be very difficult to give you your Islamic rights. And you know, it's not worth it. You know, the scholars don't even allow such travel unless you're traveling for some constructive objective, such as you dying or ill, and the treatment is only available in the States or in Canada or whatever one of these countries, or you want to benefit the Muslim Ummah, not you, not for your pocket to become fatter. There's a field that is needed for the Muslims, and we don't have the means to seek that education, and your intent is to benefit the Ummah. So you go overseas to learn this knowledge because it is needed here. Not so you could become a better person, because some people have a misunderstanding of that. You know, or someone going for da'wah. And for a person to go for da'wah, he must be qualified, be able to protect himself, and his only goal should be da'wah. Because some people think they add the da'wah whenever they want to go somewhere else, and I will give da'wah. No, of course you're going to give da'wah. If you go anywhere in the world, you're going to give da'wah. But that's not the reason why you're traveling. You have other goals. So we really have to understand, these are the exceptions that the scholars have given based on the narrations, of course, and the hadith. This is not like their own ideology. That you do not go and expose yourself to fitna, because you may come back an atheist. You may come back an atheist, as it is the case with my aunt. My mother's sister, Okay, I'm just giving you this too as a live example. Now does not believe in the existence of God. That was not the case when she was born and raised as a Muslim. And so you will think that I'm exaggerating. This is something that is watched, something that is real. People think that everyone, the shaitan will tell one of us, you're Shaykh al-Islam. You know, you're fine. You understand the deen, you will go there, you will protect yourself, nothing will happen to you, nothing will go wrong. This is a person giving himself a status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give. And this is someone assuming good about himself, and that's not the real position that we should have. Rather, we should be worried about whether we will be, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who keeps you firm upon the deen. So if you're traveling in the state of disobedience, then you are removing yourself from the boundaries of protection. Because your travel is sinful. So now you are under the danger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not protecting you. And if Allah does not protect one of us, then you will go astray. The Prophet ﷺ used to ask Allah in his dua, وَلَا تَكَلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِي طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ. Do not leave me unattended, me for myself, the blink of an eye. Don't leave me for myself. If Allah does not watch over you for a blink of an eye, you will go astray. So if the Prophet ﷺ used to make this dua, and you say, Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Allah, the one who turns the hearts over, keep my heart firm on Islam. Imagine the Messenger of Allah asking Allah to keep him a Muslim. And Yusuf said, tawaffani musliman wa alhaqni bis-salihin. Allow me to die as a Muslim and join me with the righteous. Ibrahim, same thing. They asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to die as believers. Because none of them, and these are the messengers of Allah. They could not say to themselves, Wallah, I'm the Messenger of Allah, wa fi mushkila. None of this stuff. So nowadays, one of us will be feeble-minded. He say, "No, I'm okay," and he may go and never come back. There are Muslims who leave the deen, Muslims who become atheists. I've dealt with some of them from here, you know, from one of the da'wah centers. They called me, said there's a guy named Muhammad who's an atheist, and I went and met this person in person, and I had to sit with him for an hour and a half trying to convince him that there's a God, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. And I was able to attain nothing with this individual. Perhaps because of my sins in my da'wah, or because this person has really been blinded. One of the two, or maybe a combination of both. Nonetheless, I was not able to establish with this person anything. And this is, his name is Muhammad.
Born Muslim.
Hey, born Muslim from the locals, yani. So people get it twisted. And they think that, you know, everything is cool. It's not. You know, you go, you get exposed, you introduce yourself to the fitna, you may just be out, leaving Islam. And specifically towards the end of time, the Prophet ﷺ said the man will sleep as a Muslim, wake up as a believer. He will be a believer in the morning, become a disbeliever in the evening, because of the fitna. And we are living some of these fitna. So a person, just, you know, if you go to an institute, find a teacher over here, and if this is for the brothers who always want to learn English. If you're not one of these, no problem. But find ways to remain in a Muslim land, where the sin, even if it exists, still behind closed doors, it is very limited. You can enjoin the good, forbid the evil, you can avoid it at least, while you go to places where you cannot avoid sin. Yani it takes you with it, you know, intentionally. Al-Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, no soul will know where will die. وَلَا يَدْرِي هَلْ يَمُوتْ فِي الْبَرِّ أَوْ فِي الْبَحْرِ أَوْ فِي الْجَوْءِ وَهَذَا شَيْءٌ مُشَهَدٌ. And you don't know whether he will die on land or in the ocean or in the air. You may die in an airplane. And this is something that is يعني, witnessed. You know, no one knows. وَلَا يَدْرِي بِأَيِّ سَعَةٍ يَمُوتْ. Furthermore, no one knows at what hour he will die. لِأَنَّهُ إِذَا كَانَ لَا يُمْكِنُهُ أَنْ يَدْرِي بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ يَمُوتْ وَهُوَ قَدْ يَتَحَكَّمْ فِي الْمَكَانِ فَكَذَلِكَ لَا يَدْرِي بِأَيِّ زَمَنٍ وَسَاعَةٍ يَمُوتْ. If the person is unable to control, he is unable to know in which land he can die, he will die, excuse me, although he is able to control place, the location. One may say, I'm just going to remain in this seat. And if so, I will definitely die over here. Right? You can control that to a certain extent. Say, I'm never going to move, I'm going to stay here until I die. Of course, if you don't eat, you don't drink, this will happen. Unless Allah wills that the decree is that you wind up moving. But that you have some control of. On the other hand, when it comes to the time, you cannot control that. You cannot control that. So either way, both of them are uncontrollable, but the place is more. If you do not know what place you're going to die, then obviously, knowing the time is even more difficult. And no one can assume, you may think you're going to die here, and have a, you know, say I'm not going to move, and then you faint before you die, and they take you to the hospital, and you die in the hospital. So you really, no one has control, subhanAllah, even the simplest of things. طيب. فهذه الخمسة هي مفاتيح الغيب لا يعلمها إلا الله. These five are the keys for the unseen that none knows but Allah سبحانه وتعالى. وسميت مفاتيح الغيب لأن علم ما في الأرحام مفتاح للحياة الدنيا. Again, he will give us why were they called the keys of the unseen. The first, because knowledge of the wombs is the key for the life of the dunya. Yani it's the baby coming into the life. This is the key for that. Knowing what's in the wombs, male or female, happy or unhappy, so forth. وما تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا. No soul will perceives what it will earn the next day or tomorrow. مفتاح للعمل المستقبل is the key for the future, the deeds of the future. وما تدري نفس بأي أرض تموت. And no soul knows in which land it will die. مفتاح لحياة الآخرة is the key for the life of the hereafter. The same with the first one. علم الساعة هذا نعم لأن الإنسان إذا مات دخل عالم الآخرة دخل عالم الآخرة. Because if a person dies, a human being dies, then he has entered into the life of the hereafter. وسبق بيان علم الساعة وتنزيل الغيث. And we have already mentioned earlier the knowledge of the hour and the sending down of the rain. فتبين أن هذه المفاتيح كلها مبادئ لكل ما ورائها. So it has become clear and manifest that the keys, all of these keys are opening يعني elements to that which is after them, to that which comes after them. إن الله عليم خبير. And all this is included, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concluded this particular verse. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-knowing, the all-aware, or the well-acquainted. ثم قال عز وجل, going back to Surah Al-An'am, because this was an explanation to some of the things within the ayah Surah Al-An'am. وعنده مفاتيح الغيب. And with Allah, I'm sorry,
summarize the five.
Surah Luqman verse 34. With Allah is the knowledge of the hour, the day of judgment. And with Allah is the knowledge of the rain, when the rain will come down. Allah sends down the rain. And Allah knows what's in the wombs of all females, human beings and otherwise. And Allah knows what you will earn tomorrow, and Allah knows where you will die. These are the five things. These were explained due to the beginning of Surah Al-An'am, which is with Allah the keys of the unseen. And in order to explain the keys of the unseen, the Shaykh used these verses from Surah Luqman to explain that. Now we go back to the ayah. After that, Allah says, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. And Allah knows whatever is on the earth and whatever is in the oceans. هذا إجمال. This is general. فَمَنْ يُحْصِي أَجْنَاسَ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ. Who can enumerate the species upon earth? You can't. And if you'll be shocked that they continue to discover new insects, new animals. You go to Discovery Channel every now and then, and you see that they just found out a brand new species that they didn't even know it existed before. A new insect, new animal, things of this sort. So can anyone, human beings, do they have knowledge of everything upon earth? Impossible. كم فيها من عالم الحيوان والحشرات والجبال والأشجار والأنهار أمور لا يعلمها إلا الله عز وجل. How much does it contain from the knowledge of the animals and the insects and the mountains and the trees and the rivers and many things, many affairs that none knows about except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْبَحْرُ كَذَلِكَ. Similarly, the ocean. فِيهِ مِنَ الْعَوَالِمْ مَا لَا يَعْلَمُهُ إِلَّا خَالِقُهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. It has knowledge and secrets of knowledge that none knows but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of it. يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ الْبَحْرَ يَزِيدُ عَلَى الْبَرِّ ثَلَاثَةَ أَضْعَافٍ مِنَ الْأَجْنَاسِ. They say, لِأَنَّ الْبَحْرَ أَكْثَرَ مِنَ الْيَابِسِ. They say that actually the oceans contain more species than the land up to three times. Because the land, the ocean is greater than land, right? The earth, they say, is 71%, I believe, land. Water. And then 29% land. So they say because the water is bigger, similarly the species and the creation in the ocean is three times that of the land due to the proportion. Proportionally speaking, wallahu a'lam, he's saying this is what they say. This may be scientifically correct, it may be otherwise. We are not making any confirmed information here.
So that is what is intended with Allah knows what is on the what is on the earth and what is in the ocean. The next, the verse continues, قال وما تسقط من ورقة إلا يعلمها. Not a leaf falls, but he knows it. هذا تفصيل. Now this is detailed. Earlier it was general. Everything upon the earth, everything in the ocean, Allah knows. Now we go into the specific examples. Not even a leaf falls, except that Allah knows it. فأي ورقة في أي شجرة صغيرة أو كبيرة قريبة أو بعيدة تسقط فالله تعالى يعلمها. The Shaykh said, not any leaf in any tree, whether a small tree or a big tree, whether it is a close tree or a far tree, yani something that is around us or something out in the jungles, Allah knows where, except that Allah, it falls, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. ولهذا جاءت ما النافية ومن الزائدة. Linguistically, that's why it began with ما. ما تسقط من ورقة. ما تسقط من ورقة. No leaf, يعني any leaf, except that he knows it. This is all to indicate that, you know, everything is included. ليكون ذلك نصا في العموم. So this indicates encompassment and totality. والورقة التي تخلق يعلمها من باب أولى لأن عالم ما يسقط عالم بما يخلق يخلق عز وجل. And the leaf that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to fall, then inevitably Allah knows about it in terms of creating it. If Allah knows about it falling, then Allah must know, have knowledge of the creation of the leaf before it even reaches the point of falling. And this is just, yani, obvious. انظر إلى سعتي أو سعتي علم الله تعالى. The Shaykh said, look at the vastness of the knowledge of Allah, the Exalted. كل شيء يكون فهو عالم به. Every single occurrence, every single thing that takes place, Allah knows of it. حتى الذي لم يحصل وسيحصل فهو تعالى عالم به. Even the things that did not happen, the things that did not occur, Allah knows about them. And the things that will happen in the future, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is knowing of them. Every single thing, يعني even the circulation of the blood right now in your system, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly, I don't know, the liters, how many liters per second are being pumped, yani something that is technical. Every single specific information that you use advanced machinery to bring, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of this without any effort exerted, without the need of anything. This is just the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا قَالَ وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. And not even a grain in the darkness of the earth. حبة صغيرة لا يدركها الطرف في ظلمات الأرض يعلمها الله عز وجل. It says a small grain that the naked eye cannot even see. It's very tiny. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. ظلمات, darknesses, is the plural of ظلمة, darkness. Excuse me. ولنفرض أن حبة صغيرة غائصة في قاع البحر. The Shaykh said, let us assume, or imagine, a small grain, alaykum salam. Hey, let us imagine a small grain sinking somewhere in the deep ocean. A small grain, at the moment, sinking right now, you know, going down, maybe some bubbles are coming out. في ليلة مظلمة مطيرة. On a very dark, rainy night. يعني, you could not even see anything. فالظلمات, the Shaykh said, now darknesses, أولا, طير البحر. The first kind of darkness is the actual foundation of the ocean, like the sand, the very bottom. طيب. ثانيا, ماء البحر. The second darkness is the water of the ocean. That's the second level of darkness. He's going to take us in levels. ثالثا المطر. The third level is the actual rain. So the darkness of the surface of the earth, the land, the very bottom of the ocean. Then the water itself. Then the rain that is falling. That's the third darkness. رابعا السحاب. Fourth, the clouds. وخامسا الليل. And fifth, the night itself. So you have darkness upon darkness upon darkness. The darkness of the night and the clouds and the rain and the ocean and the very depth of it. And there's a little grain sinking throughout all of these darknesses. فهذه خمس ظلمات من ظلمات الأرض. These are five darknesses from the darknesses of the earth.
ومع ذلك هذه الحبة يعلمها الله سبحانه وتعالى ويبصرها عز وجل. With that, Allah سبحانه وتعالى knows about this grain and He sees it سبحانه وتعالى. And of course, نعم, I will not mention that actually. Next time, inshallah. قال ولا رطب ولا يابس, nor anything fresh or dry, and that includes everything we said. هذا عام فما من شيء إلا وهو إما رطب وإما يابس. The Sheikh said there isn't anything except that it's either fresh or dry. There's no third option. قال إلا في كتاب مبين, but it is written in a clear record. كتاب بمعنى مكتوب. كتاب means مكتوب, that which is written, that which is written. مبين أي مظهر وبين. مبين meaning it reveals and it is clarifying. Okay, it means of manifestation or clarity. لأن أبانا تستعمل متعديا ولازما. Grammar. فيقال أبان الفجر بمعنى ظهر الفجر. أبان as a verb. أبان الفجر يعني ظهر الفجر. أبان الفجر meaning the فجر has manifested, has become seen, huh? Has become visible. So from بيان to make clear, to this kind of meaning. والله أعلم. ويقال أبان الحق بمعنى أظهر. He show أبان الحق the truth meaning he made it clear. He revealed the truth. والمراد بالكتاب هنا اللوح المحفوظ. What is intended by الكتاب here is the preserved tablet, the preserved tablet with Allah سبحانه وتعالى in which everything is written. كل هذه الأشياء معلومة عند الله سبحانه وتعالى. All of these things are known to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. ومكتوبة عنده في اللوح المحفوظ, and it is written with him in the saved and preserved tablet. لأن الله تعالى لما خلق القلم قال له اكتب. قال القلم ماذا اكتب؟ قال اكتب ما هو كائن إلى يوم القيامة. Because Allah when he created the pen, he told the pen write. He said what shall I write? He said write whatever will be existing, whatever will occur until the day of judgment. Every single thing including this particular sitting right now. We're sitting here. Allah decreed that you come here and I speak and you listen and you speak and I listen. Everything that is taking place right now has been recorded 50,000 years before Allah created the heavens and the earth. And the pen wrote that in the preserved tablet way back. And we are simply living these moments out. But some people have a misunderstanding by that, and they go to the extreme thinking that you are forced to do this because it was written. And this is not the case. Rather, Allah has given us the free will. But the knowledge of Allah is so encompassing that He knows what you will do with the free will. But you're never forced to do anything. Did anyone force you to come here? You came willingly. You came willingly. And you do not feel anything else. You don't feel anything for anyone forcing you. You came here willingly. So Allah gave you the free will. You may have not come, but Allah knew way before what you will be doing. But He did not give you knowledge of that. So what do? You go with the flow. You go with the flow. This is very important because people have a misconception about Qadr. And they seem to think that these are actually deviant sects among the Muslims. Al-Jabariya wal-Qadariya. Al-Qadariya, those who say that there's no decree. You do something, Allah knows about it afterwards. Al-Jabariya, those who say you are forced to do everything because it was pre-written. So then Allah decreed that you go to Jahannam and He gave you everything to do that will take you to Jahannam, and you go to Jahannam oppressively because you were not given a choice. A'udhu billah. This is craziness. Obviously we do not believe that. Rather you've been given the free will, yet Allah knows what you will be doing in this life of yours. But you don't know, so you don't sit there waste your time. What if Allah decreed that I'm going to go to Jahannam? Then you tell Him, and what if Allah decreed you're going to go to Jannah? You don't know. So what do? You've been given a path to Jannah. What do? You go up on the path of Jannah. Yeah, this is common sense. Alhamdulillah, I hope you understand that. Because some people really don't. Al-Muhim. نعم. ثم جعل فكتب في تلك اللحظة ما هو كائن إلى يوم القيامة. During that particular moment, the pen wrote everything that will take place until the day of judgment. ثم جعل سبحانه في أيدي الملائكة كتابا أو كتبا تكتب بها ما يعمله الإنسان. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave in the angels books in which they write in it what the son of Adam, what the human being does. لأن الذي في اللوح المحفوظ قد كتب فيه ما كان يريد الإنسان أن يفعل. Because in the saved, saved preserved tablet, it has been written in it what the human being will want to do, what he will do. والكتابة التي تكتبها الملائكة هي التي يجزي عليها الإنسان التي يجزي عليها الإنسان. As for the deeds that the angels write, these are the things that the human being will be held accountable for. After you do the action, the angels will write it down. This is what will be presented to you on the day of judgment. نعم. ولهذا يقول الله عز وجل, that's what Allah says in the Quran in Surah Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, verse 31, ولنبلونكم حتى نعلم المجاهدين منكم والصابرين. And verily we will test you so we may know those who will struggle amongst you and those who are patient. أما علمه بأن عبده فلانا سيصبر أو لا يصبر فهذا سابق من قبل. As for the knowledge of Allah, whether this servant of his will be patient or not is something that is already known to Allah from before. لكن لا يترتب عليه الثواب والعقاب, but there will be no reward or punishment based on that knowledge until it manifests and the person is patient or otherwise, then the angels write it down, then they will be held accountable. So Allah will test us, huh, to see what we will do, although Allah knows. But when the actual thing occurs, then it becomes a manifestation for us. We will conclude this particular session inshallah here, and inshallah next verse we'll be dealing with next week. وَمَا تَحْمِلُ مِنْ أُنْثَى وَلَا تَضَعُ إِلَّا بِعِلْمِهِ. And no female becomes, conceives a child or except with his knowledge, and it does not put it down, it does not deliver it except with the knowledge of Allah. We will postpone that to next week. والحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك, اشهد ان لا اله الا انت, استغفرك واتوب اليك.